Good morning, Sigrid. Good morning, Jasmine, and welcome to our studio.
Good morning.
We continue with the story about Acres for Oroville and Green Acres, which is actually a vital and crucial thing for us if we want to develop a city as such and have integrity, right? Sigrid, after the Acres for Oroville was launched in 15th of August 2014, what inspired you to start the Green Acres?
Actually, I was inspired to finally start fundraising for the land for Oroville after a flight to Pondicherry and seeing the rapid urban unregulated development. So I wanted to do fundraising for land. Obviously, it was to start with the land just next to Matrimandir. But from the beginning, it was clear that also we need to buy the land in the Greenbelt, which is actually a lot more land which still need to be bought. And the Greenbelt is essentially to protect the Greenbelt, has been foreseen always as an integral part of Oroville. And of course, the success story of Oroville is the greening of the Barren Plateau.
And
now it's crucial.
Produce the food for ourselves, no?
Now it's crucial for all the natural resources. First of all, the water. We are in an area with not much water. So water conservation is the forte of the Greenbelt. Then, of course, food security. Mother insisted on organic farming. So now, nearly 50 years later, we know how important organic farming really is. And then, of course, we have alternative energy in the Greenbelt, sustainable living in so many different forms. So for me, the Greenbelt, besides this integral part of the city, is a unique ecozone with so many individuals coming from with sustainable practices, so much cross-pollination with cultures from all over in this spot. So it's something really unique and has already developed pretty much into a showcase, demonstration plot and research in alternative energy and sustainable living. There's so many projects, programs, university-related research, international profiled. So the contrast is, you know, the amazing development in sustainability and ecological living in stark contrast to outside developers who just do the very opposite. They don't care about the natural resources. They plan high-rise buildings on plots without much water. They cut down whatever vegetation is there first. And they don't do any planning about the social impact of their investment. And it's unregulated development. As it recently also was shown in unregulated development in Chennai, which led to the floods.
Yep.
So in our area, this is how it is. Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to join the campaign you recently joined with your husband, Arvind?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've always been a Greenbelter at heart somehow. And we were both very engaged with the Sustainable Livelihood Institute that has been coming up. And quite recently, we saw that there the team is pretty much formed now, and it's an all-Tamil team doing wonderful work. But it freed us up to look for something else. And before I could actually look out, the request came from Town Hall, could you please join us? And for me, it was so amazing because I had been listening to Sigrid in many meetings, her appeal and her passion, and I always felt like what she does is so vital, it's so important, and I love to help her, but I just didn't see myself free. So when this opportunity came, it was really just like mother saying, okay, here it is.
You have to do it.
And since then, we've been, yeah, really very, very busy. It's a fascinating work. So much needs to be done.
We should have 10 people doing it, not, you know, a few part-timers.
Yeah.
As you know, also green belters are really a shy species. They tend to be, they tend to be just quietly doing their work.
But are we all supposed to do, no? To do our work?
But they wouldn't come sit with us in town hall, no?
Communication and just exchange of what's going on also is very, very vital so that we really can work together and speak with one voice. What we need is to raise funds to urgently acquire some very vital pieces of land in the Green Belt.
And in the Green Belt is... how many percentages of land is already in Oroville hands?
Only one third.
So we are still far to go, yeah?
We are very late. On the other hand, some villages are in the Green Belt. We won't buy that land. We should rather extend a bit to conserve the water. Mm-hmm. Towards the northeast, there's the watershed. So
you're talking about Kotakari?
Towards Alankopam. Mm-hmm. And development is happening. Whatever we can buy now is a piece more of Oroville. Whatever we cannot buy, if somebody else buys, it will be very difficult.
And of course, there is also prioritization going on. There are some crucial plots that come up for sale.
And the
plots
which are encroached, these are also...
No, there's also encroachment because the pressure on the land is rising dramatically. So the land protection stepped up its activities and manpower. And there might be more stewards in the land necessary to mm-hmm. protect the land we have. On the same time, now is the time. Very soon it will be impossible. It should have been done 50 years ago, 40, 30, 20. It didn't. We have another chance now. We shouldn't miss it. It will.
How long are you in Norwell? You're really quite some time, yeah?
Yeah, more than 20 years.
Okay, you have any idea why their land was not bought at the time?
For a long, long time, let's say up to 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people thought it's just farmers' land. No development was happening. We have all our time. It's beautiful. They're farming the land. We are farming the land. It's regardless of ownership, something good is happening.
Mm-hmm. Not it's always, the pressure but basically. Of bond expanding. Of urbanization, the whole commercial, and of course land has always been very precious, very valuable.
There has been a very successful campaign a good 10 years back.
Andy was talking about it, yeah?
Yeah, and then there were some issues with how to acquire the land, and since then nobody took it up. Mm. And this was a big mistake. To me, that's a big mistake. I really regret that nobody did it.
We are late, but as they say, it's too late to be a pessimist. We have to act now. And I believe it's a very good moment also because right now the whole world has woken up to the need of sustainability. They talk of sustainable urban development. And in that context, the need, the value of green spaces within and around the cities widely recognized, and it's part of every planning. So that is one reason why it's really important, and it's out of question not to develop our green belt. Develop in the sense of...
If we talk about this, the city the earth needs, the green belt concept is, you know, a very important concept nowadays. And our green belt can be a showcase and a demonstration plot and a research center for what the earth needs. People who plant, people who green the planet, people who live sustainable.
Yeah, and it's even more in focus.
The key word would be sustainability, because also in order we are not sustainable yet, far from that.
We have techniques, we have ways we do it. It's not everywhere, but I see Oroville as a training center in so many ways. So it's also a training center for organic farming, for afforestation.
Oroville has a lot for people to be inspired by and to show. There are lots of collaborative projects, research projects. And, for instance, some examples are Pichandikulam,
Southern Forest,
Revelation, and many others.
Buddha Garden.
Yeah. And Pichandikulam, for instance, has led to the Adyar Ponga in Chennai being restored, and that has been a very major project.
That's
and they've come,
project,
government yeah. has approached for many more projects in that way. Mm-hmm.
How do you do your work with fundraising? How do you do, how it looks like?
Fundraising means writing letters, setting up projects, connecting with many people. And actually the most amazing and the most beautiful part of it is because it brings unity. It brings people together for a common goal. So unlike the discussion about exchange of land and sale of land, which leads to a lot of division, I understood that a big part of the campaign is bringing unity, inciting people to work together, what we all came for, not only within Oroville, also very much the support of the AVI Centers for Acres for Oroville has shown that the huge support there, that the huge support from the side of the Ashram and Three Aurobindo Centers all over the world. So it's like connecting to a global Oroville network and activating it. So we can we do this for Acres for Oroville more with the spiritual context of Oroville. However, asking the same people doesn't bring more money. There are many projects in Oroville which are connected also worldwide on the ecological side. So we need to activate this network. So for that, we need the Orovillians who are involved to be our ambassadors for fundraising. They have the contact. So they work.
Since you mentioned Orovillians, what is the response from Orovillians towards this campaign?
In heart, it's a very big response. In money, not yet. But maybe it's also not the money which is needed, but the heart which is more. And, you know, we need a lot of money. Really a lot of money at this point. So Orovillians give already a lot, particularly green belts. Belters have always, you know, developed their place with the private money. Many of the green belt bought the land, a lot of land for Oroville early on by the private money. I don't know if new Orovillians still do that, but at that time it was like give it all. And maybe now it's time to connect with the global network, you know.
We believe that funds are there and there are people looking to where to put them to the best use. And if they can see that Oroville is really striving to be the city the earth needs in terms of sustainability. And as sustainability, you know, water, air, it does not recognize boundaries of property. No. It's really our own, everybody's interest. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, Oroville has a meaning far beyond its boundaries. And one thing also that's very important to us is, in our view, is the collaboration with the villages. Because we are really in the same boat when it comes to water, when it comes to food security, when it comes to quality of life.
You've been acting in a sustainable institute, yes? So what is the collaboration? Do we collaborate with them? Do they collaborate with us?
With the villages? The Sustainable Livelihood Institute basically is an initiative that came out of government of Tamil Nadu coming to Oroville and saying that our rural livelihood projects are not really going very far, they're not very sustainable. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a hand? Can we think and act together? So the SLI, as it's called in abbreviated, basically works with people from all over Tamil Nadu. It's not centered on Oroville's bioregion or immediate neighborhood. But, of course, collaborations will be there for sure. It's still a young initiative also. Mm-hmm. And its focus is, in a way, twofold. One is to work with government officials from all over Tamil Nadu, from the districts.
And the rural.
And to empower them to think sustainably.
No, but my question was more, how do you feel? Because I know you live in Greenbelt, you work in Greenbelt, right?
So how do you mean the immediate impact?
Yes.
I wish
because
I could.
You have neighbors, yeah?
Yes. I wish I could say that it has been very successful in terms of its immediate impact, but I think that will take more time. Things here in Oroville, in our region, do take time to take root. And some habits like dumping of garbage or burning of plastic and so many other practices, it does take time to change.
See, the traditional Tamilian farming culture has a huge respect for the land. And I did a program with local farmers when I arrived in Oroville. There were many programs before and many programs after. However, what the villagers were 10 years ago and what they were 20 years ago and what they are now is not the same. And what they will be in 5 years, as I sell the land, probably what will happen is that they will become landless and that richer people buy the land and they will be more or less on the street, like what happens in the suburb of Chennai. And the traditional values and the way how to be with your land will be totally gone, because what we see with the speculators now will be very common very soon. We have now already 5 attempts to build 140 apartments in very close to us. Very close.
If everybody recognizes the value of the green belt and can work for it, if we plan together, then only can we really protect it.
That's true.
At the end of the day, if the trees and the sustainable living is happening on our land or somebody else who's friendly to us, this is still the very good option for us, other than somebody who exploits the natural resources and doesn't care about our mode of living just for money.
Maybe here I should just say one more thing about a Sustainable Livelihood Institute, because I think the primary focus of it is really to make life in the rural areas sustainable, which has not been the case for quite some time. People suffer from poverty, they can't pay the school fees and God knows what. So if we can manage, if we can help them to really bring quality of life and also funds back to the village, that's what we need. And then also this onslaught of so-called developers and speculation will be much less.
Yes.
Yeah, if somebody has integrity and know what he's staying on the land for and he got means to support himself, of course he will stay. Yeah?
Yes.
Because as far as I know, the Tamil culture is that they do value the heritage land. They do know
absolutely
that is life, yeah? Only until if they're under pressure or the price is really such a high, that say, okay, maybe for that sake, let's sell it, yeah. Okay, let's go on. Mandakini was talking about something which is called Land Party, right? But Aryadeep mentioned that the name being changed.
Yeah, to Landing Orville.
To Landing Orville. So that is going on?
7th of February.
Yes.
So with plenty of information, new short clips. And the members of the land board and us there to have like more personal interaction.
So what are you planning for this day?
We've been
because
fortunate
it's just
also
around the corner, no?
We've been fortunate to be able to speak to one of the people who was asked by mother to purchase the land of Oroville even before Oroville was officially started and founded. And it's been just an amazing encounter for us. So much information, so many things that we did not know.
And so much enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah. He's still there completely with his heart and mind.
Who is that person?
His name is Dayanand.
Uh-huh.
And he was an ashramite as far as I know. Hmm. Still lives in Pondi. And it was... We were all deeply impressed and really touched by what he shared. So we hope to share some of that also in a filmed interview at the land party.
And there's going to be a new film on Irumbai, rice land project. And there's a small plot of Oroville organic farmed rice land already there.
The hermit wants to continue, yeah?
So, and there's this Irumbai temple, which is a legend, which sort of relates to our Oroville as well. And it would be amazing to have this plot of organic rice production for food security as a demo plot, as a model to be replicated. It can be sustainable because there's rain water in the lake, there's a well. It's an amazing plot, it's an amazing space in the master plan area, and it's one of the very prime locations we should look at for the future of Oroville and the bioregion, because organic rice is highly valuable.
Mm-hmm. also being right on the shore of Irumbai Tank, this is our only real big area of rainwater collection tank in the Auroville area.
On that side of the city, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really, it's vital to preserve that area. Already we have the Royal Mother City that is right on the shores of it, but for the rest, we can still, it's still time to preserve the area and plan jointly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Royal Mother City is a outside developer.
Yeah, we know that.
We know that, the radio people don't know that.
Oh.
And another important project is the water conservation and wildlife in the northeastern Greenbelt. So this is our main watershed, and we should protect it. Rishi is an Auroville child who got a thorough training in forestry, afforestation practices, and he's willing to enlarge the scope of his project, and he has done very beautiful work, and it will connect many pieces of land in the area. This is another very important project.
Also, if you travel up and down the Coromandel coast, there are very, very few pieces of the original forest that you can still find. It's far less than 1%. It's, I think, 0.01% or so of the original forest cover is still there. So it's really an endangered forest. Mm-hmm. And Auroville is a prime resource. We have hundreds and hundreds of species of indigenous trees.
Shrubs and
climbers, lianas, all of that. So it's really for botanical knowledge, for the preservation of fauna and flora and the whole biodiversity. It's an incredible jewel.
Mm. Yes, it is. But still, what do you plan for the landing Auroville in 7th of February?
So there'll be, there'll be an invocation. There'll be 3 short films. Mm-hmm. On land topics, on Irumbai, on landing Auroville, which is on land in general, which you, according to the title, you'll see also, you know, the development from the bird's perspective. Mm. And then there will be an interview with Dayanand.
Mm-hmm. There will Dayanand be space will for be, interaction.
Dayanand will be also present on that day?
I don't think he will come personally.
He's really old, yeah?
Oh, he's still very much there.
But he's above 80.
No, but he's very active as such, so remains to be seen if he wants to be with us. But we really thought of it as an event for the Auroville community, mm-hmm. because we have a lot to share, and so we really also see it as a very interactive kind of event. There will be some snacks, hopefully Auroville-grown snacks. Many things still have to come up, some music, and also to envisage some initiatives, how everybody in Auroville can really contribute actively.
Yeah, we should.
Creatively.
Each of us.
Yeah, not just with money.
And
money
therapy
is important, but there's many other ways to contribute.
Yes.
But at that time, I also think that AVI people would be here already, at least some of them.
Yes.
They are invited, yes. Yeah?
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. It's not exclusive. It's just our focus is more.
To have people come and interact. The land board members will be there, present the work they have done and be in contact
with the rest of the community.
Yes. And Jeremy will be our man on the mic. And he's very inspired. He always wanted to help, but then he said, I'm an artist.
And we're very much aware that, of course, when you talk Greenbelt and you want, there is also, it's not just Auroville, it's us and the villages. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it would have been very nice to include the villages as much as possible, but it just, for now, right now, it exceeds a little bit the scope of what we can do. So that will certainly happen at a later stage. I know for the 50th anniversary,
earlier, we will do planned. Something very more connected with the Tamilians. Yeah. Now we'll have some.
Are you planning maybe also to show the films to the bioregion, to the villages? To the village people? Because maybe the awareness in the villages is not on that level yet,
the villagers, I think they're very aware because the speculators are there. The villages are growing very fast. Their social structures is changing very fast. And they might be even more aware of who is who and what are the prices than us.
No, I'm not talking about the prices, but I'm talking about
the value, wellness, yeah.
The value which is beyond the money of Oroville, the bio, you know, the green belt and so forth. Mm-hmm. That maybe, you know, if you knock on somebody's consciousness, why are you selling, even if it's a good money to that developer, if we are living here, you know, because these families are staying here, yeah, they're living here.
It just stops there. We need money. Without money, we can't buy.
A year ago, I think it was the last film festival, there was this beautiful short film. Was it by Srinivas or who was it by?
Somebody else, but anyway, I don't sell.
Yeah. I don't sell the land. It was about a farmer who is under pressure and how eventually, it's quite an amazing short film, if anybody can see it.
It is amazing, really nice. It's really
so the awareness is there.
The awareness is there, but they sell only when they need to sell. And then they need money. But our land board needs the money. So we need a lot of funds, a lot. We just have to put a lot of faith. Oroville has always been impossible. First, the impossibility was to be in a desert. Now we are in the forest, but we are not alone.
Yeah. Also, I think that within Tamil culture, if you look at how many magazines are there in Tamil dedicated to sustainability, there is really hope for a change of consciousness. It's there, it's ripe. So yeah, I think the awareness is really growing. So there is a hope that, yeah, and a need to all work together to preserve our green belt.
We have a website, which is called www.colab.org, and you find a lot of info, you will find the films, you will find the campaigns, you will find the link to donate quickly or after reading information. We will put more photos, but already you will find a lot.
Okay, cool.
There's one thing also that I don't know if it's premature to announce now, but we are speaking to some artists, and we definitely see a scope to invite and involve all the arts for this common purpose that we all share. I remember about 10 years ago, there was this amazing initiative on Oroville website. Artists would give their works. And then, if I remember correctly, people could actually say there was no fixed price. They would just donate and then get a work of art.
It was
a really beautiful initiative. And why not do something like this again?
When you're talking about art, also you and Aravinda design postcards, which is also a calendar with some basic information, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a lovely project, little project to do. It was also, we were very fortunate because somebody donated the funds for the card. The photos came together just like that, and it was really beautiful to do it. So we did not need to take funds from donors' money to make this card, but it could be realized outside. It was just a special kind of generosity. And we do believe, like, the question was, how much do we want to give to our donors and how much do we spend and all of that? And are donors going to be happy to receive something physically or should we just send an email? Things are shifting also. The awareness is shifting. People, donors in India do not have the same expectations or needs as donors elsewhere. So we always try to adjust our campaigns and what we offer, and we try to be in touch with our donors.
But so I think that as Mandakini explained to me, the transparency of the accounting and everything is really, it's there. It's meticulous, it's clear. So that is really, I think for somebody who donates the money, donors really wants to be informed how and where the money was spent. So
Absolutely. That
is the most important thing, that the feedback goes back to them.
Of course.
And through the website also, they will be able to follow step by step the progress.
Yes. So let's not compromise the manifestation of Oroville. Let's go for it all, including the green belt. So we need to expand the green belt, and we need, you know, really a lot of money to help.
Okay. For the listeners who don't know you, and also for the Orwellians who might not know you, Sigrid, what do you do otherwise besides this campaign?
Besides this, I'm a homeopath. I also teach homeopathy, and also I'm a regression therapist. I work here and also in Germany.
Mm-hmm. And Matrimandir?
For a long time, I was part of the amphitheater group. I just stopped to dedicate my time more to the land fundraising. Yes.
And you, Jasmine?
If you ask me what I've been doing, my mind almost goes blank because we've been somehow in many fields. Arvind and myself moved back home to Auroville, you can say, about 6 years ago. We came back to India, mm-hmm. then spent 2 years on a farm that was on Ustiri Lake and that was under ashram. Then 2 years later, finally came to join Auroville. I have been part of 4 Auroville Internationals in, I think, 3 or 4 continents mm-hmm. over the years. Came first to Auroville in 1985. And
okay. You also organized a really successful AVI in South Africa, right? Meeting.
Yeah, that was a great adventure, and it was wonderful to feel the spirit of Auroville expanding and also coming together from so many parts of the world. And we felt a very strong, many touching points between Africa and South Africa and Auroville.
Yeah.
Ubuntu, the famous word Ubuntu, which means, it's difficult to translate, but it's togetherness. I am because you are. It is so much the spirit of Auroville. So we see a lot of meeting points. And since we're here, I have been mostly drawn to green work in one way or another. I've been part of Food Link, and, well, I'm part of the very small Green Center team. We write the green columns and organize Sunday walks to forests and farms. And then arts is also a natural field for me. I enjoy communicating. I've always been interested in natural health. I'm a nurse by formation.
Oh.
And so many interests. And Auroville just keeps nurturing all of that. And the day is always too short.
When you start working, it's always you see, okay, there is a need and there is a need. And you go and the day is too short for sure.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's always a deep, deep privilege to be in Auroville because, you know, the freedom that we have here, and the privilege of meeting so many people who share the basic aspiration. And you meet somebody for the first time within half a minute, you talk about something that really matters.
Wait, you mentioned freedom, which is many times use and abuse. What kind of freedom do you mean?
Well, of course, freedom is an inner freedom, first and foremost. It's a spiritual freedom that we need, which also comes with discipline.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of freedom we have here, often they say Mother has given us a long leash. It's not easy to handle. But still, just even on the surface level, if you think that of how free we are to choose what we want to do, where we want to engage our time and energy, I think it's an incredible privilege.
Thank you both. See you on 7th of February in Unity Pavilion in the afternoon, right?
4 p.m.
Welcome,
everyone.
Wonderful. Thank you, Miriam.